John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Thursday, March 16th, 2023. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. And a shout out and a happy birthday to the Queen Olivia Plouffe today.
Yes, happy birthday, Olivia. We all love you. She's the best. She's the best.
I'm sure she's listening, so I'm sure she appreciates my shout out.
Yeah,
I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful next few days as well. Baseball Today, of course, presented to you by Fubo. So if you're looking for an amazing way to stream your team's games this upcoming season, don't worry, Fubo has got you covered. It is a streaming service with over 200 live channels of sports, movies, shows, and news. That is going to come in very handy for a lot of you baseball fans. They also have Fox, FS1, and FS2, which has become a big deal during World Baseball Classic games. Also ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball and their baseball package. So visit FuboTV.com/baseball today to see which channels are in your lineup and score 15% off your first month as well. And coming up in just a few minutes, we will be presenting to you our Fubo TV question of the week. Another good group of questions. Keep them coming. And that person is going to walk away with some Baseball Today swag. All right, Plouffe, let's get it going. We're all a little disappointed based on what happened last night in the World Baseball Classic, which has been so, so good. Puerto Rico with an amazing win over the Dominican down in Miami. As they're celebrating, Edwin Diaz, the $100 million closer of the New York Mets, sustains a knee injury. As of the taping of this show, we still don't know the severity of it. It does not look good. The Twitterverse, the baseballverse, the sportsverse went awry. What's your take on what happened last night?
I mean, yeah, an incredible game. We had some moments there. Puerto Rico jumps out to a big early lead, some defensive miscues by the Dominican. But then we had the moment. We had Machado up there with bases loaded. I said, hey, here it is. He ends up grounding into a double play. Puerto Rico hangs on. And we see Edwin Diaz come out for the bottom of the ninth. And it was, I mean, that's kind of, if you're a Puerto Rican fan, that's what you wanted. You wanted to see that guy coming out of the bullpen in the ninth because you knew you were going to win. And when you did, three freaking strikeouts, not even close. I guess Teoscar at the end had a nice little at bat there. He worked the count a little bit. But, I mean, it was never in doubt. And then you saw what happened afterwards. I was on my couch with my jaw down. Teddy loves the WBC, so we've been kind of watching it together. And he was kind of like fired up, like he was happy. And then you just saw Edwin on the floor, like those legs extended. And we're like, you didn't know who it was at first. But when you saw it was him, it was just, like I said, my mouth was open. Like I couldn't believe it because like the level of emotion from that high to that low is kind of jarring. So we're still awaiting word on it right now to see the severity of it, but it's tough. It puts a damper on what was, you know, one of the better baseball games I've seen in a while.
So there's an awful lot to unpack here. There are certain factions that are saying the WBC is stupid, that if this tournament hadn't been going on, he wouldn't have celebrated because you don't celebrate a March 15th spring training win over Houston the way you might a WBC victory. That is all accurate. I can't debate that, right? I mean, there are other people who will say, well, this could have happened if he was walking from his car and twisted the wrong way. I also can't debate any of that. What I won't stand for is that the WBC is bad because Edwin Diaz just got injured in one of the all-time freak accidents that we have ever seen. I just won't put up with it. And I saw some people that work in the media and some people that don't saying, well, this will be it for MLB players and WBC. It won't be, and it shouldn't be. We have seen multiple players in professional sports get injured. Last night, I tweeted out the story about Paul George, one of the great, great NBA players who had a near career-ending injury in a Team USA Hoops scrimmage as they were getting ready for international competition. in 2014. Not only did it not prevent other players from continuing to join the team, Paul George returned to international competition 2 years later to represent this country in the Olympics. There are those people who fired back and said, do not compare the Olympics to the World Baseball Classic. And this is where America's ego gets in the way a lot of times. You have no idea what this meant to Edwin Diaz, to the people of Puerto Rico, to the people of the Dominican. Go look at the crowds in Japan. Can we sit here and tell people what's important to them and what's not? If this meant more to Edwin Diaz than participating for the New York Mets, I don't know if it did or it didn't. That's not for me or you or anybody else to tell him. It sucks what happened. It's disastrous, borderline disastrous, depending on how the testing turns out. But at the same time, I don't want to see a tournament go away because we had one of the all-time freak accidents.
And it won't. You know, we have injuries in spring training all the time. We still have spring training. We take preventative measures in spring training, just like we take preventative measures in the WBC. Like a lot of these guys, I know the Mets said Edwin Diaz can't pitch on back-to-back days unless possibly the semis and the finals. But they were monitoring him closely. This was a freak thing. I guarantee 3 years, if Edwin Diaz wants to, he'll play for Puerto Rico. It's going to happen. Okay. So I agree with you, Chris. We can't, say that no major leaguer is going to participate in the WBC because I really believe this one's going to turn more people onto it. Like the emotion, the crowds, Mike Trout playing, Shohei playing, Edwin Diaz playing, like everybody was kind of on the bubble there or a young kid, they're looking at this being like, I want to be on that team. I want to experience that. You have Mike Trout saying this is some of the funnest baseball he's ever played. Like, it's really fun to be Mike Trout in the big leagues. I know he hasn't made the playoffs, but you get to walk up there and know you're one of the best players in the world every single time. That's a lot of fun. So it's not going to, derail the WBC. It is a sad injury. And hopefully we're hoping for the best with Edwin because we don't know yet, but no chance. This is only going to grow the game.
Well, I do want to go back to one point you made that, hey, injuries happen in spring training, but we still have spring training. Yes. But the other side of this is not spring training. This is not a tournament to get you ready per se. Mm-hmm. If you weren't at this tournament, you would be in spring training. And I understand all of that, but I just can't take away the excitement. The whole reason we have the World Baseball Classic is basically what we saw happening in that classroom in England where the kids are celebrating a sport that they might now know a thing about. Most people listening to this podcast today do not have any recollection of the start of Team USA. Team USA was built for two reasons. The second reason was because we lost in 1988 with a bunch of college kids and we were embarrassed and we thought basketball was our sport. So we wanted to finally send some pros like the other teams were doing it. The main reason we did it was because David Stern, then the NBA commissioner, saw a way to globally expand his sport unlike anything else. And it changed the sport of basketball forever. Listen to the players who have come through the NBA from overseas. Without the Dream Team, there probably isn't a Dirk Nowitzki. There probably isn't a Giannis. There probably isn't a Joker and all these amazing talents that entertain us each and every night. Why did that happen? In part because of what the Dream Team started. Yes, it was a huge marketing ploy. Yes, there were people taking shots, but that comes at the expense of trying to grow the game sometimes. And that's what baseball is doing. Is it a partial money grab? Absolutely. Yes, it is. But it also has given us tremendous joy, and people around the world have been able to celebrate their cultures and their homelands, and that is supposed to be a great thing.
Yeah, as I was watching the game last night, my boy Yonder Alonso was on the call, and I thought he did a really good job of explaining just how important it is and how, like, there's a rivalry between these two nations and – or not nations, two places, and also a brotherhood. I thought he did a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. You could feel it through the screen, like the excitement and the passion in that place, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like in the semis and the finals. Cuba's there.
I mean, Cuba's going to be down there, possibly against the United. It'll either be against the United States or Venezuela. That's going to be utterly insane. So as sad as this is, as much as it sucks, and as much as it may possibly change the trajectory of a World Series hopeful, I can't quit you. And no. I don't want to quit you. I don't want to quit you. I just think it sends the wrong message.
Who's saying that, by the way?
There's some people that you'll respect, others that don't.
Really?
You don't. Yeah, and I've had a lot of people, you know, I sent that tweet out and it got a lot of action. And I would say 65% of the people backed what I was saying about Paul George and the WBC. And then the other people were calling me an idiot, saying you can't compare the Olympics and the World Baseball Classic. Like I said, maybe not for you, but go ask the players from Puerto Rico. Go ask the players from the Dominican, Japan, Israel,
yeah,
Great Britain, what it means to them. Because it might be bigger than the Olympic gold medal. Might be bigger than playing in a World Series in Major League Baseball, to be honest with you. I can't tell them how it makes them feel.
Like, I'd say that, honestly, the only thing I think would be bigger than this WBC or the WBC is playoffs and World Series. And maybe, yeah, maybe not even the couple of first rounds of the playoffs. Like, you're comparing the final of the WBC, like, that's going to trump most playoff games. The World Series, I think, still reigns supreme for everyone, because you walk around saying you're a World Series champion. You don't really walk around saying you're a WBC champion. But maybe some people do.
Well, that's the thing, is that in our country, I would agree with you. For most, yeah, almost, I would be shocked if there was a player born in America who would say that their WBC, let's go ask Eric Hosmer, right? He won both in a 3-year span. Yeah. Which one means more to him?
I bet you he would say they're close.
I'd be curious.
It's a good question.
I'd be very curious. It is a good question. And I guess that's my overall point. We have been so busy, and this isn't a new thing, but it feels like over the last 3 years, to infuse our opinions on other people. Well, here's how you need to think.
Welcome to social media, Chris.
Yeah, but it's such bullshit. It really, and it drives me nuts. And it's the number one thing that came out of last night for people to say, well, no. A WBC win doesn't compare to an Olympic gold medal. Maybe not to you, and that's fine. But to other people, I don't know.
In baseball, it's bigger. Very quick. There's not even baseball in the Olympics anymore.
Right. Right. And by the way, the big leaguers never got to participate anyway.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they did when they were younger, but very few of them. I think we need to just touch on this a little bit. We can't play doctors. We don't know how severe this injury is. But what do the Mets do if it's bad?
Rely on the depth that you accumulated in the offseason, basically. You know, you have some guys there that can step up. No one's going to be Edwin Diaz. I mean, shoot, you just made him the richest reliever in history. You got Adam Ottavino. My favorite offseason signing, David Robertson. He's going to have to step up. I mean, there's some guys there. Like I said, no one's going to fill those shoes. So they're still hoping for the best, but you're going to have to, you know, climb and find some depth there and make sure it works. Mix and match, basically.
If it's the worst, try not to put that juju out in the universe. If it is the worst, I go make a trade for either Scott Barlow or David Bednar.
Sure. Price just went up.
I do it. I get it. And I know, you know, Stephen Cohen has steadfastly said over his tenure as the Mets owner, it's our goal to be the East Coast version of the Dodgers. One of the many reasons the Dodgers are always in contention, not just because of their payroll, but because of what they do with their minor league system, which has consistently been in the top five and is arguably number one this year, even with a monstrous payroll. The Mets have not gotten to that level. But I'll tell you, if you need, you've gone all in with two guys, one who's 40 and one who I think is 38 at the top of your rotation. If that means digging into your, you know, war chest on the farm system, so be it.
That's the thing, is Steve Cohen has large pockets of money, but like, he doesn't have an unlimited amount of prospects, or maybe he does. Right. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to dig in there. man, we'll keep our eyes on that whole thing. Lost in the Diaz injuries at Puerto Rico, took it to the Dominican last night and ended up moving on to the quarterfinals. How big a deal is it that the tournament favorite didn't even advance out of pool play?
Oh, it's tough because that was an extremely difficult pool that they were in. I mean, look at the roster of Venezuela, look at the roster of Puerto Rico. Our social media Talking Baseball put out, like, is this the most disappointing team of all time? And I said, I can't, like, how can you think like that? You know, you and I talked about how one game situations against these teams, I mean, anything can happen. And it did. I mean, Venezuela came out and put this, like, came out early on and put up runs, and the same thing with Puerto Rico. And that's kind of like what happens in these games. If you can get a 3-4 run lead, it's really hard to come back in baseball with that, especially with these pitchers throwing the way they're throwing. So it's disappointing. I think we all wanted to see them, you know, Julio and Machado and Edwin Diaz, you know, kind of perform on that massive stage there in the semis and the finals. But there's so much more good baseball still out there. The teams that are left, the Japans and the USs and the Venezuelas and the Cuba, sorry, Australia, sorry, Peter Moreland, Cuba moved on. I mean, there's a lot of good baseball left to be played.
I can't sit here and call it one of the greatest upsets ever. Imagine that the people in the Dominican are extremely disappointed and probably asking the same questions that we would have been asking today had we lost by more than 3 runs last night, or whatever, however we would have lost a tiebreaker. I didn't even really pay attention once the game was really close. So, you know, they would have been saying, what's the matter with our team? Nelson Cruz doesn't deserve to be the GM. He's done a lousy job putting it all together. Yeah, dude, it's baseball. They lost to Puerto Rico and Venezuela. Damn. Those are two teams that if they win this whole thing, nobody's going to sit here and be like, really? Venezuela, Puerto Rico won?
If the U.S. lost kind of in their pool, I would be a little bit more on, like, that's really, really disappointing.
Yes.
I mean, no shots fired at Mexico or Colombia or, you know, Canada. I'm just saying, like, their pool was not that pool.
Oh, no, not even close. So I do wonder how this is going over today in the Dominican. I don't know if they have sports talk radio, what have you.
Well,
so my barometer for Dominican fandom,
I was going to say,
our buddy Joe's McFly. So that is the standard by which, you know, all Dominican fans in my world feel today. So I love that Joe's was putting out clips last night. Here's one of the Francisco Lindor inside the Parker, J-Rod screwing up the ball in center, and his reaction. Enjoy.
No, J-Rod, pero que es, loco!
He's got hands on
him. Ay, mi madre, pero coño!
Hat is off. Hand on forehead, really dismayed at this point. Let's see what else he's got in it.
No, pero J-Rod que está borracho. Borracho, obvio. My man hitting that Brugal bottle hard, bro.
I heard a big old Conyo in there, and that's when you know Joe's is upset. And Joe's was trying to convince me. He's like, bro, we got to go to Miami, make it happen. I was like, my 2 weeks before that are absolutely insane. Oh. I can't do it, dude. I was like, you should go. You got to get down there. And he was waiting for the semis and the finals, bro. So he had already counted them punching the ticket. Now I don't think he wants to go down there.
I think he'll pass. Yeah. I think he will pass now.
Did Joe's jinx the DR because he was counting on them 19th, 20th, 21st that I'll be down there.
By the way, he was wearing the hat around the warehouse last week for Blitzball. Those freaking lids on the Dominican are so nice. So nice.
I know we talked about the U.S. Uniforms and people are like, oh, they need a refresh. Well, Mike Trout puts one on, and I'm looking right now at Mookie Betts. Like, they still look pretty good. Those are pretty clean, dude.
I actually like the grays better than the whites.
I don't know. I must have a USA jersey somewhere in my closet. It's awesome. I think I do. I need to go put it on.
I got to find it. Hey, today's episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. Baseball is back, so celebrate SeatGeek. It is giving away a special offer to you fans. We need you to use the code word JOMBOY preseason. That is all caps, all one word, 15% off your order, whether you are a first-time buyer or not. That is a big-time deal, because if you've used a code before, we don't care. Use JOMBOY preseason again. SeatGeek, if you're not familiar, go to your phone, download the SeatGeek app. It gets you tickets to anything. The upcoming baseball season, the last few weeks of the NBA season, NHL is going on. You want NCAA tournament tickets, you can get those as well. The NFL season's going to come out and get announced in May. Go get those. Plus a concert at 365 days a year. Go get them. And here's the great thing about SeatGeek. They rate your tickets for you. They don't just want to say, buy, buy, buy. They say, buy the best deal. They rank them on a scale of 0 to 10, and they color code them. Green, good. Red, bad. Repeat. Green, good. Red, bad. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the code word JOMBOY preseason. You're going to get 15% off your next order. It is that simple. Don't wait. The offer expires at the end of the month. So open up your phone, add the code to your account. You can thank us later. You're welcome. Team USA is off to the quarters this weekend, down to Miami for a date with Team Venezuela. And if they win that, they will square off against Cuba in the semifinals on Sunday. How good are you feeling that when we return to work on Monday, we will still be talking about Team USA being alive in this tournament?
I'm like at like a 65-35 confidence percentage. Venezuela's tough. That's a really tough roster. So I think that's kind of the game. I think we can get past Cuba. I do. But Venezuela is going to be the tough game. It seems to me like Mike Trout's trying to take the tourney over, which we desperately need. Some better at bats by Team USA last night. And if you get Trout going and some guys around him, then I like our chances even more. But that Venezuela lineup's just really good. So one game, I know that you want to be all confident in the U.S. and we're going to do it, but you got to realize, man, like that's going to be a tough game. So if they get past Venezuela, then I'm very confident we get past Cuba and make it to the finals.
I feel exactly the same way, but I'm going to diminish the odds. I think it's a coin flip.
Yeah,
me too. I think that's what it is.
I was trying to be a patriot, bro.
Yeah, but as much as I'm rooting for us, my baseball brain looks at that team and says, dang, man, they got some players. They got some ballers. That lineup has been smoking hot. It's been better than Team USA. We really had one game where we went full bore. You know, Schwarber had the homer in the first one, but it wasn't like we trounced them. And then, you know, we demolished Canada, mm-hmm. 9 runs in the first. That was the only real explosive inning that we've had. So I still feel like there's more to give. What do you think the crowd is going to be like against Venezuela? What's the makeup of the crowd going to be?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I think it's going to be raucous. Whatever. I don't know. That's a good question. I think there'll be a lot of USA people there. I do. I think it'll lean USA. I do. Puerto Rico and Dominican, a little bit different.
Yeah.
When they play Cuba, if they play Cuba, I'll be interested to see how that goes. Huge Cuban population in Miami.
Enormous Cuba. It's that one. I don't think that one would be close. I think the semifinals.
See, come on. Let's go. U.S. citizens down there. Let's go. Step it up.
I mean, I loved going to the finals here in 2017. It was a blast. It was so much fun. But down in Miami, woo. Look out.
What do you think it's going to be like?
I think it'll be half. I think it's going to be split.
Okay.
I have to tell you know what? I got to text Miggy Rowe, to be honest with you. Maybe he and I should have a bet curious. On this thing. You think he and I should have a bet on this?
I'm curious if like the Latin population will root for just Venezuela in general. Because, like, they, you know, they took out, you know, the Dominican. Do you switch over, right, or are you mad? I don't know.
It's a good question. All right, it's time right now for our FUBO question of the week, our fan question of the week. Thank you so much for sending in all the great responses. It's great. Made us think a little bit. We will continue to do this on next week's show as well. I want you to check out FUBOTV.com/baseball today. You can get a 7-day free trial and 15% off your first month as well. Today's question comes to us from Claire. She wrote in, "I've watched a ton of baseball with my dad. I will never forget him yelling for me to come watch replays of the throw, Ichiro's laser out in Oakland where he nailed Terrence Long over at third base, or yelling at the TV as Mike Cameron just missed home run number 5. Mm-hmm. What a special baseball moment you have with a loved one." I love this question.
Well, how many games we've been through together? You know, I've think about that. Our relationship. One stuck out to me in my mind, and it was when I was a kid, 1998. I think a lot of people probably have that summer kind of locked in their brains. We had the home run race going there. I don't know why I was in Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas, but I was headed home. And that drive, you're in the desert, you know, a little 2-lane highway there. We're listening to, or like trying to like find the game on the radio, or we weren't listening to the game or to any of the games. But a car was approaching us and it started honking its horn. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And in the back seat, someone had written on a piece of paper 68. So like they were letting us know that McGuire hit number 68. And we were like freaking out, he did 68. Like, it was just like, if you were alive and watching baseball at that moment, like you remember how much that season and that race meant. So I'll never forget that. Cause we're like, oh my gosh, like we were just pumped up. Two strangers, two cars passing each other in the desert, and baseball had brought us together enough for like, they had written on a piece of paper 68. So I'll never forget that. That was really cool. And then Teddy and I, just not too long ago, I think it was last year, we went to an Angels game. And he got a ball signed by Shohei Ohtani, and I'll never forget the look on his face. It was great. Like he just found a treasure box. So baseball brings people together.
I'm gonna do the Trevor Plouffe. I've got two, both Cleveland World Series. Obviously, both losses since they haven't won since I've been alive. 2016, we were up 3-1 on the Cubs. My oldest son was turning 16 during Game 6. He begged of me at the beginning of the World Series, if the series goes back to Cleveland, will you fly us in? I did. We got trounced in Game 6. We're down 6-1 in Game 7. Brady, at that point, is 11 years old. Rajay Davis hits the home run, and we black out. We're in Mike Napoli's family suite, right next to a Cubs suite of the next line of executives under Theo and Jed. So I don't know who they are, but I know they're important. I am screaming at the top of my lungs. I black out. Michelle, like 30 seconds in, looks at me and she's like, what are you doing? Because I was working for MLB at the time and I was swearing and screaming. I don't know what I was doing. Anyway, we lose. We're walking back to the hotel. Brady's holding my hand. He looks up. He goes, Dad, it sucks we lost, but at least we were all there together.
Wow.
I'm like, what?
That's amazing. Can I give one more?
Other quick one, 97.
Oh, you have two.
Series. We lose. Yeah, we lose Game 7 down in Miami. I'm living in Atlanta at the time. I'd been married a couple months. Michelle had gone to bed early because she was teaching the next day, even though we were up like 2-1. Told her, you can't do that. You're going to change the mojo. We lost. So I didn't have anybody to talk to. I called my brother, Pete, who's living out here in L.A. We were on the phone for like an hour. We said nothing. We were just holding the phones up to our heads. And like every 7 minutes, all we'd say is, this sucks. But we were there for one another.
I'm sorry, bro. Those are some.
All right.
We need to unpack that a little more later. Those moments.
All right. The good news is we are back 5 days a week starting next week. We cannot wait. Claire, thank you so much for the question. Olivia, have a wonderful birthday. Special shout out to Dan Rourke, our one-of-a-kind producer, and my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. Fingers crossed for Edwin Diaz, everybody. We will see you Monday on Baseball Today.